Welcome, Professor Mark Dawson from Peter MacCallum Cancer Research Centre from Melbourne. There is a good news about the cancer research breakthrough. Can you explain or tell a little bit more about that?
Sure. Thank you very much for talking to me today.
You're welcome.
The research breakthrough largely relates to a discovery and the development of new methods in my laboratory that have helped understand how drugs work in both cells and also in animal models of cancer.
How can some fluorescence protein can be attached to the therapy drugs? Do you think that these methods can attach to other kinds of anti-cancer drugs as well?
What we've essentially done is one of the big frustrations for cancer researchers is that when we develop drugs and we test them either in cancer cells in a dish or in animal models of cancer, we can observe certain effects of the drugs. That is that it may kill the cancer cells, it may cause them to differentiate. And largely we accept these things without knowing in great detail what drives this process or how it occurs. We, for instance, don't know whether the drug is working in a particular cell compartment, such as the cell nucleus, what proteins is it engaging within the cell, how is it actually getting to the genes to turn these genes on and off and cause these cancer cells to die. And similarly, you know, when we test it in animal models of cancer, we make the assumption that if a cancer cell is present in one organ, like your spleen or your bone marrow, that if you take the same quantity of drug, when that drug is absorbed, it has an equal effect of the cancer cell that is located in the spleen or the bone marrow. And largely we know that that is not true, but we've not been able to study that in any detail. So what we have done is take these therapies that are in clinical trials at the moment, and we have subtly altered them so that we have maintained their functional integrity. That is how they work. We've made sure that we have not changed the way the cancer drug works. What we've done is we've added a small tag, almost like a molecular Velcro, that allows us to now stick onto the drug whatever we like, be that a fluorescent protein to allow us to look at the drug in the cancer cell and now see whereabouts it is localized, what it's binding to, how much drug is in the cell, and also help us identify what genes the drug is going to. So this has not really been previously possible, and it really will hopefully change the way we characterize these drugs and understand both the molecular underpinnings for why they work so well, but also understand why some of them fail in the clinic. And that's our ultimate ambition, is to develop drugs in a better way so that what's getting to the clinic is going to have the best chance of being successful. Yes, and I don't think it should be confined to anti-cancer drugs. I mean, essentially any small molecule where you know how it engages its target and you can preserve that activity but still attach on this molecular Velcro, then you will be able to use the methodology that we've helped develop.
Professor Mike Roger from Sydney Garvan Institute also mentioned about fluorescence protein that they used to trace the cancer drug in recent time. Is this new breakthrough the updated version or totally different from that version?
Yeah, so it's slightly different. Being able to label drugs with fluorescent proteins, that ability has existed before. I guess what this allows us to do is not just stick a fluorescent protein on there, but actually stick whatever we like on there for it to be characterized in cells. And not only just cells in a dish, but also cells within a whole animal. And largely that has not been done before. You know, being able to actually dose an animal with a cancer drug and ask whether the cancer cell that's present within one specific organ responds equally well to a cancer cell located in a completely different site. You know, that is actually very critical, because if drug exposure and drug activity is different, that's how resistance starts to develop.
Since the 1940s, oncologists tried to use the cancer drug to treat cancer specifically based on organs and tissues. But now they tend to change from the old methods to tissue agnostic or biogenetic or biogenetic markers. Can you explain a little bit more about the new system?
The new excitement and waves of cancer immunotherapies, which has been, you know, largely there to harness our own immune system and use this as a new weapon against cancer and reactivate its ability to recognize cancer cells as being different to our normal cells and therefore exert its influence to eradicate the cancer cells. Now, that, yes, in a way is tissue agnostic, but it has been based largely on a, you know, on decades-long research of understanding how the immune system works and being able to reignite it when required in a very specific way. If you're otherwise talking about the differences between cytotoxic therapy and what we refer to as targeted therapies, you know, if we look at the change over the period of time since the 1950s to what we do now, largely we've moved away from cytotoxic chemotherapies to really understand what the molecular basis of cancer is and use those insights to design therapies that are more effective against cancer cells than they are against normal cells. That is, to try and increase that window of anti-cancer efficacy whilst reducing the side effects of normal cells. And, you know, whilst we're not at a stage of being able to really leverage this concept of precision medicine to the extent that we want to, I don't think that it would be very far away.
How long or how soon will the clinical trial be ready for the next step?
I think the discovery that we've made will facilitate how we study these drugs in order to be able to, you know, transition them into the clinical arena more effectively. We don't propose to use the kind of drugs that we've developed, being able to attach fluorochromes, etc., as clinical agents. We propose to use them to study these agents in better detail before we take them into the clinic, to understand the reasons behind their success and failure and to optimize that before we take them into the clinic. And I think that that will still take a couple of years for that to be embraced more widely.
So currently, can all anti-cancer drugs penetrate some bone marrows, or just a very small type of cancer drugs can penetrate the bone marrow?
I'm not sure that we understand that in enough detail at the moment. You know, it is clear that drugs can get into the bone marrow. The drugs that we have studied also get into the bone marrow. But the processes that control access within the bone marrow are inadequately studied, as they are in most tissue organs. I think what our study helps shed light on is the fact that this assumption that the drug is equally distributed regardless of where the cancer is and will likely have equal effects is certainly not true, and those limitations can be laid bare to be further investigated as to why does it not get into the bone marrow, why does it have more activity in one organ versus the other. And that will only really lead to better drugs and better outcomes.
Do you have any final comments or any thing to say that we haven't mentioned about?
Look, I think the only thing to say is that, you know, this study was done in collaboration, in association with three other countries and centres based in three other countries, with laboratories based in Heidelberg in Germany, in Paris in France, and in Stevenage in the United Kingdom. And it's really this kind of major collaborative effort. It was led by a fantastic PhD student in my lab called Dean Tyler.
Thank you very much for your time, Professor Dawson from Peter MacCallum Cancer Research Centre in Melbourne.
Okay, thank you very much, Varuni.
Thank you.